조스 군이 드세 하고 해라. 조스 들어버니. 드세. 아니. 군이 드세 집어 인들어서 말해 있나. 제아의 말 말해. 드세 떠나서 힘들 말해. 오케이. You had a good sleep? Rested well? Okay, that means you are refreshed. Good to have refreshed and back to the class. Unless you will be feeling sleepy here, you know, if you are not well refreshed. Okay, as usual, in the beginning, we are going to read the Heart Sutra. And while reading the Heart Sutra, it is important to recall and reflect upon whatever level of understanding you have on the emptiness. And that is very important. The wisdom of the emptiness is like a most powerful weapon against any negative things that exist in our spiritual life. So by meditating on emptiness, we try to eradicate all of them, any possible obstacles that exist, which obstruct to our practices, especially this session of discourse, like that. So we do the recitation of Heart Sutra. Okay, ready? Here we go. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem, thus did I hear at the one time. The Bhagavan was dwelling on mass of vulture mountains in Rajagriha, together with the great community of monks and great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time, the bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage of daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom, should look up like this, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Feeling the discrimination, compositional factors in consciousness are empty. Like Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristics unproduced in these seamless not without steam.
Thank you.
mantra of Mahayana vision, the mantra of great knowledge, the infra-class mantra, the mantra equal to the unequal, the mantra that surely pacifies all suffering, should be known as truth, since it is false. The mantra of Mahayana vision is declared. Teyata gade gade para gade para sangate bodhi soha. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan arose from the concentration and commended the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara saying, well said, son of the lineage, it is like that, it is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you have indicated, even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entirety, along with the wolves of gods, humans, suras, Gandharvas, were overjoyed and highly praised at the spoken by the Bhagavan. Kala jibe nejo tamba ne ngushe zudu ngave tuto jindu babu lamayi Nyesung kandu zola cha ze lo aga samara mishtra. Aga samara sa shadara samara ya pe giri donda ge ju shiva dan midu ne ve gendam te va dan te ma ju ju kuzu so ta shi te gyan ten dir de le sho. So, listen to the discourse with proper attention and the right motivation. As the right motivation is explained in the teachings of the lineage masters again and again, try to cultivate a proper and correct motivation, suitable to listen to the Dharma teachings in general, in Dharma discourse in general, and especially to the discourse of Mahayana teachings. So now we are at this point. We already have explained the fifth paragraph or the fifth verse of this text, the Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa. And now we are getting to the sixth verse. Sixth verse here is related to the practice of the confession or purification. So to explain that, let me first read the Tibetan commentary. Out of the seven limb practice, or in certain cases the eight limb practice, this is the fourth one. Now, Shabwe yinlani, rangi thongme ni korwa dir khyambe, serasu sabwe tigdung, thaya basing debu chung masimbar yoba nam thang, kebar sedir, domsum da gyewe che rangi, nidung chingye sabwa, thembe yudu gyurwa namla, ngotang chenes. Didada, shiyan, tembe masimba tayabashi yobe, dinamgi dribula, da chimar nyawar kevaso, dunge semeba nyongubar mase, sindilayan, yonde kevalan yekcheba sok, yemi hindu chevar dube, chi rang ta, ditabu digba, sabala ang yambe, gyosim tukundu sumala, gyobatar shukchabodan, tachinje, dinde digba migi yambe domsim gigone, kevyu namgi chengar, digbanam, machabar, Dome Udugi Shabur Mudes Dagi Tome Tune Saba Yi Lunga Yigi Dipati Tang Keber Dombasum Gimbi Ducho Ningi Gibbata Wissosur Shah She Jebe Shag Yunam Gikule Wissur Chuba Rangi Lunga Yi Sumla Pobe Digdip Tamje Munkundu Nisir Shubashi Sangi Sanki Jambe Mubacha Shinsimji Tamji Digdip Jong Mikba Chenang Legwe Shibar Mengal Shibar Cha Shao Yu Setabala Mugugi Kapsu Drawatang Rangde Drawa Digbe Gundela Chiba Namgi Nanzu Samne Ningji Shukji Kete Nyamta Dinam Gichir Chirtu Dagi Sangi Gopan Shik Topna Nyambi Chanju Gisim Tureva Ni Tureva Keba Ni Ni Tengi Top Munche Digba Chebala Yuba Number Sunji Metop Lenche Mijebra Domba, Nieval Lardovetop Lama Tsokshin to Sevala, Chalcel Chimbuso Giba, Shagwe Kurumla Mimig Gay Deba, Nimbu Kunju Top Yimbe, Teshi Sangwe Gone, Deba Shagwe, Shindu Top Shaman, Jong Nube, Lap Tat Lana Mebo. So, to carry on the practice of purification, or the practice of confession. First, we need to understand and we need to accept the fact that ourself or the practitioner oneself has been wandering in the samsara, the cyclic existence or the conditioned existence for innumerable lifetimes, and during those lifetimes definitely have accumulated or committed huge amounts of bad deeds, negative deeds, non-virtuous deeds, harmful deeds, whatever we say. it seemed. And those things which already have ripened and produced their result may not harm us anymore, but there are definitely a huge amount of such deeds which is committed but not yet ripened, and it is potential to produce pain and distress and agony and suffering to us. We need to recall that, and especially need to recall in this lifetime what kind of improper, bad and negative deeds one have done. For an example, related to one kind of improper training into the vows, improper training into the proper kind of basic moral conduct, basic humanities, basic human values, like those kind of things. And then, of course, the three different, three levels of vows, the individual liberation vows, and the bodhisattva vows, and the tantric vows, definitely have great amount of transgression that may have happened from time to time, intentionally or unintentionally. And in general, the wrongdoings or misdeeds are categorized into two categories. That is, one, a misdeed committed through going against or transgressing certain vows. And there are certain other misdeeds that is by nature it is a misdeed and a harmful conduct. So all of those things that one have committed in this life should try to remember and try to calculate . And those are the things that one can remember. But it is very difficult to remember those misdeeds that we have done in previous lifetimes. As long as we don't remember our own previous existence, how could it be possible to remember those things? So it's very difficult. But if someone has that capacity, it can be done in that way. But the misdeeds that we commit in this lifetime is much easier to remember, but there are also possibilities that many of misdeeds that we have done while we were young and innocent may never remember at this point. So probably the misdeeds that we remember could be much lesser than the misdeeds that we have committed that we don't remember. So it is like that. So the summarization here is all the misdeeds, the remembered and the unremembered, recollected or kind of forgotten one, all of them share an equal characteristic, that is to harm us, to harm ourselves. Harm ourselves by bringing an immediate harm or immediate discomfort, or harm ourselves by bringing a pitiful lower birth in future lifetimes, or various types of pain and discomfort and sufferings in future lifetimes. Like birth into the hell realm, birth in the hungry ghost realm, and birth in the animal realm, and so on. So these, all of these misdeeds and negative deeds, or the non-virtuous deeds, or the downfalls, whatever we say, have this capacity equally shared or common to them, each of them. So if we don't purify ourselves, if we don't confess those things and deliver ourselves from those problems and those causes and conditions which have the kind of strong capacity to produce pain and harm to ourselves, then in future we will definitely have to experience those resultant harm, pain and suffering. So with such an understanding, we need to try to generate a deep sense of willingness to get rid of them, to confess them, to purify them. So even in this lifetime, those misdeeds can cause many pain, various types of pain and discomfort and various other circumstances which may lead into unhappiness. So these are really, really very kind of harmful and dangerous to ourselves. We need to have that kind of understanding, and driven by that kind of understanding, try to generate or cultivate a deep sense of urgency within oneself to get rid of those things. Like if someone happened to consume a poison or any kind of poison innocently or unknowingly or unintentionally, then as soon as they discover that, oh, the poison has entered into their system or entered into their kind of tummy, then what that person will be doing? Trying to do everything to get that poison out, or maybe have the kind of potential of that poison destroyed. So we need to generate or cultivate similar type of approach towards all those negative deeds or negative kind of karmas, what we have accumulated up to this point, this moment. And it is very important to have it strong and powerful. The stronger this sense of willing to get rid of those things, the purification will also be more effective and confession also be more effective. So it's very important to have this condition met first. Then the second condition is, oh, since these are really disturbing and harmful and kind of painful, then I must make sure this point onward I must not get involved in any of these kind of activities or conducts or misdeeds. So that kind of self-resolve to refrain from engaging into such activities in future. Then the next step is to confess earnestly, kind of honestly, in front of the assembly of the enlightened beings, the in front of the visualized field of merit, from the depth of one's heart, whatever misdeeds are there, confess it in front of them without any slightest intention to hide any of those misdeeds. It is very important. Then with that kind of understanding, with the deep sense of distress of having engaged in, having committed these things, one should confess and purify those misdeeds with reciting the paragraph, which reads, "The unwholesome actions of the body, speech, and mind I have accumulated since time without beginning, especially actions contrary to my three vows," that means Vinaya, Bodhisattva, and Vajrayana, same as I have explained earlier, "I regret extremely from the depth of my heart and reveal each and every such action and purify it." Like, that's it. Then, once that verse has been chanted and purification has been done, one should visualize that the field of merit emanates rays of light from its body. Each of the enlightened beings emanates huge amounts of rays of light, and those rays of light have kind of infinite power to purify one's negativities in the body, speech, and mind. So it came down, and as soon as it touches one's body, it starts its function and cleanse the body, speech, and mind from all those negativities. And all those negativities are completely washed away in a way that if there is a kind of a dark building, suddenly if we light up the bulb or the light, we put on the light, it kind of suddenly kind of drive away or make the darkness vanish. In the same way, the lights, the rays of lights have that functioning done and cleared away and purified away all those negativities from the system of the practitioner. So this is how one should, and after that one should try to feel in ease that all the negativities has been purified and removed. Then here, it could also be helpful if the practitioner visualizes that the rays of light also do the functioning of clearing and cleansing and purifying negativities of all the other living beings. And the visualization of that is not explained in the text in detail. And text says that it is good to do the visualization, but details of that visualization you may listen from the master's mouth. So that is, at the same time, since when the rays of infinite rays of light come down, you can also visualize the rays of light spreading in all the directions, in all the 10 directions. And as soon as any living being come into the contact of those rays of light did the equal functioning that it did to the practitioner himself or herself. It cleanses the body, mind, and speech of each and each of those living beings, and purifies them and remove all those negativities and negative and misconduct what they have committed from their innumerable lifetime up to this point. It can be visualized in that way. At the end of that, one can be kind of be confident and be happy and try to feel that, oh, it's very good that all the sentient beings are now free from all those negative deeds and they can enjoy the great happiness and so on. So these can be done in that way, the visualization of purification. And then this practice of purification should involve certain conditions or certain important factors. And out of them, the first one is to the object to whom you confess, the field of merit. You generate deep sense of devotion and take refuge in that. That is very important in order to have an effective purification carried on. And then to take note and to have an attention on all the sentient beings who also are in similar position, similar pitiful position as ourselves, who also keep committing all the varieties of non-virtuous deeds and harmful deeds and misconducts. So contemplate on that condition, and driven by that contemplation, try to cultivate a deep sense of compassion to them. How pitiful these sentient beings are, and what a pitiful state they are in. Driven by that kind of understanding, try to generate a deep sense of willingness or wish. How wonderful it could be if they all could will be free from all of those causes and conditions which may result into suffering, pain and distress and all those things. And then, driven by that, how wonderful it could be if I could be able to do something for them, and that is only possible if I achieve the Buddhahood. And for that reason, I must achieve the Buddhahood, just in order to benefit all the sentient beings who are living in a very, very pitiful and a poor state. So that kind of understanding, that kind of spirit one should try to generate. And these two practices, the practice of refuge and practice of generating the bodhicitta, are named as the powerful base or powerful foundation. This is the first condition or the first important condition that the practitioner should try to kind of cultivate and try to have in their practices of purification. And then after that, as I explained earlier, driven by the deep sense of understanding of the harmfulness of all the misdeeds and the negative deeds, a deep sense of regret, deep sense of regret from one's own depth of heart for having those things committed in past. It is very important, which is a powerful kind of sense of giving up those kind of act in future, or powerful sense of denouncing those misdeeds that oneself have committed in past. this is important. The second condition, denouncement, is very important. Then, third condition, driven by that powerful sense of denouncement, then to cultivate a deep sense of refraining, a deep sense of willingness to refrain from engaging into such activities in future, driven by that previous condition that oneself have cultivated. That is named uplifting oneself from the misdeeds or the negative deeds or the misconduct. Then the actual antidote, the powerful antidote, are to do the seven limb practice in front of the merit field, like in front of the visualized merit field, doing the prostrations and doing the offerings, like those kind of things, is actual antidote. And a powerful actual antidote could be to recall whatever level of understanding of emptiness one have, and especially to understand that, or recall an understanding that, or generate an understanding, a deep understanding that the practitioner who carries on the practice of purification and the visualized field of merit, all of these things are absence of inherent nature, absence of independent self-standing nature. And the act of purification itself also is empty and absence of inherent self-standing independent nature. So these things are important to recall and try to have deep sense of understanding of those things. And also the actual antidote can also include the recitation of the mantras, like in the case of 100-syllable kind of Vajrasattva practice, the 100-syllable mantras. And in the case of like practices based on the recitation of the names of the 35 Buddhas, of confession practices, the recitation of the names of the Buddhas. And there are various ways of doing the purification. There is also a purification named the fire offering to the Vajradhaka, that can also be done. So there are a whole lot of different varieties of the purification practices. The practices are available in the kind of scriptures. So one can choose based on their own kind of interest or suitability to their lifestyle, and should try to do in everyday basis. And then the most important thing is to have these four conditions cultivated while doing the practice of the purification. If a purification is done with all these four conditions combinedly cultivated, then the purification, that kind of purification, enjoys great strength and power to purify any kind of misdeeds and the misconducts and the negative karmas, even the strongest or the extremely strongest one can be purified. So it's a, you know, a supreme method for purification of the karmas. Then the next limb is the next limb is the fifth one. Yeah, fifth one. So fifth one is the rejoicing, the practice of rejoicing. Okay, so I'm going to read the Tibetan text first. Jesu irame yanani, jelame kuzi shinda, dir pebe lue pakwar minube, sama sumgi, zebanam tachi, frutong lo rangawe, shever nube, kuzi di zeba, kuna tamune, dongagi, hung chore batam maimber, gudishida, parjin tegwe, denu sumla delje, semer gure, kedum namda, dubda shi, shesu tachin chawa lang, puta chever jangbe, keba kungji, tongji, dunji suyan, denda meber, kurwatang. Kang tueba tenamja, tulu the maimber, shunglu tamjin, damna to shame, tudun tadala, ndorju, putamya, never minjugi tap samur signet, sambatan gombe, sushi, drubala sambatan, tian chugi, leva tamutamya, mashuber, temba the shingi tun corner, two yam to shave, cho the tumungi, mudu tamji yene, rangi, drubachogi, sarshi, kendigi dujala, lamig rimba nila soba, judishi, tumu maimba, the samu ume tawala soba. Perjin tegbe tumo we lamge ne thamje sela doba kanjin der mun jun gi kedu su yang tambar manu be lekshi gi lukbar lekshi gi lukbar tene tade parduwa thawi kundu temba yong lo la chotong sang gi thosam gomba chebandi thamje je dingi gi kadi yimbe yimba surne gi tena shebe tende number tharba temba chela sim gawe yirama thang dagi gi ditabi number thar Namdar Kyonu were shocking Yamne. Ying made to either mountain, Dubla, Chugi Pangbe Tejur, Tuyuji, Gombo Chugi, Lapsin Zebala, Daza, Sambatabe, Yiran, She Ju. Okay. Then the practice of rejoicing, that is the fifth one. So to do the practice of rejoicing, first, we need to understand a little bit of the biography of the great master Tsongkhapa. So, the text presents a brief, extremely condensed form of biographical information of the life of great master Tsongkhapa. It says that Great Master Tsongkhapa have great and outstanding information related to him. There are secret level of his biographies which could not be explained by any common person because it is out of the comprehension of common and ordinary beings' wisdom or intelligence. So we are not going to touch that. Instead of that, let's just try to look into the common biographical information of the great master Tsongkhapa, or commonly understandable lifestyle that he had, great lifestyle that he had lived. From a very young age, started to learn Buddhist teachings. Probably he was initially ordained in a Buddhist individual liberation practices. He was ordained as a upasak at the age of 3, and from that time he commenced or started his Buddhist practices. And by the time when he get to the teenage, he was quite well taught in Buddhist scriptures and quite well trained under the guidance of his great master. And his greatest achievement is he was not just focused on certain portion of Buddhist teachings. He learned all the factors on all the kind of categories and all the sections of the Buddhist teachings, including all the sutras and all the tantra teachings of the Buddha, like the four classes of tantra, so on. And in the case of the sutra teachings, he learned all the three baskets or the three groups of the teachings, there is a normal reference, the basket, the Vinaya basket, like three pitakas, Vinaya pitaka, Abhidharma pitaka, and Sutra pitaka. These are the three baskets. And not just the three, all the three kind of pitakas, but then also the great commentaries of the great Indian and the Tibetan pundits or the scholars on those Buddha's words of three pitakas. And he learned in detail all those philosophical schools, the four major philosophical schools, how each and every philosophical school presents their own philosophical views in a different and a distinct style and a manner, in detail and in subtle manner. He learned those things, and he didn't just learn those things, he learned it and kind of with a great accuracy and with a great perfection and completely. And as a result of that, he became the incomparable teacher of Tibet, which was from any angle not comparable by any other great teachers of the Tibetan history. So that was his great achievement. And it was not just that, upon that, whatever he learned, those teachings were not just left over up to collection of the information. Instead, all those things that he learned, he have them kind of understood as some kind of message and instruction to one's own growth and improvement. then all those things that he learned, he never found anything that can be discarded, that can be dispensed. He found all the things that he've learned throughout his life are precious and valuable and must needed to be applied. There is nothing that can be discarded. In order to achieve the ripening and deliverance or liberation. So he understood all the teachings, the certain kind of method to achieve that liberation and or to ripen the faculties of the practitioners. For that reason, whatever he learned, whatever he studied, he did an in-depth contemplation on those things. And after the contemplation, after acquiring a deeper understanding of those things through the contemplation, he did meditation on those things. And he kept on applying those values in his life. And very diligently he did all those things. And whatever he did, the learning and contemplation and the meditation and the application of those teachings in their life, his life, none of them were contaminated by any of the eight mundane concerns or eight worldly dharmas or eight worldly concerns. Not even a slight manner. And whatever he did, whatever he practiced it in order to benefit strengthen and serve the teachings of the Buddha, and in order to benefit all the other living beings. So, as a result of that, he achieved supreme and common achievements, common attainments, and became a great adept, a great saint in his life. Then, to the fortunate and suitable disciples and the followers, he taught the two stages of the path, the tantric path, and various common and uncommon teachings and the practices related to various classes of the Tantra, like four classes of the Tantra. And then he also taught the profound Madhyamika philosophy combined with the common special practices of the sutra path with special touch of this complete and perfect instructions and clear instructions, which makes him outstanding in all those great masters that may have born and produced in Tibet throughout the millennium. none of the other great scholars, famous scholars, managed to present the Buddha Dharma in the way that great master Tsongkhapa presented it. And his treatise and his books has been cherished and treated as a great wealth of the Buddhist community in the country. And due to his works, the Buddha Dharma spread in all the directions, and with in its complete form and completeness. And at presently, whatever scholars and the teachers and the practitioners that exist who does this learning, studying, and contemplation and meditation on the Buddha Dharma, it is all due to his great kindness that we have this facility available at present. So, because of these things, if we, or if someone with an objective, unbiased mentality, look into his biography, then they will definitely find great lot of information which will help them to cultivate and generate joy and rejoice and devotion. So, with such an understanding, one should rejoice the great the lifestyle that the Buddha, that the great Lama Tsongkhapa had lived, and take example from it, and try to generate a deep sense of rejoicing it, and try to have a deep sense of willingness that how wonderful, what an amazing and valuable, precious and wonderful life he lived. May I also have a similar life like of him. Please, the field of merit in front of me, bless me to have it. So with such an understanding, deeply in oneself, read the following passage, following verse, which says, "We totally rejoice in your magnificent achievements, my Lord. You strove for knowledge and realization, abandoned the eight worldly concerns, and made the most meaningful use of human life with the 18 opportune conditions during these degenerated times." So, like that. And rejoicing is a very important practice. The great master Tsongkhapa himself says that with a little effort, do the practice of rejoicing, which helps to accumulate great amount of merit with little effort. Because while we rejoice, we don't need to do any kind of physical activities. We can just recall whatever good deeds others have done. And with addressing that, with recognizing that, we need to feel good of that and appreciate their good deeds. And if possible, also try to generate a deep sense of yearning in oneself to be able to be capable to do the similar things. So that kind of type of a joy of seeing other beings doing good deeds, that can be done much, much easier way. And it is also very good to get get rid of jealousy and probably this is a very good antidote against the jealousy. If we become jealous of someone else, there is no place that we can rejoice their achievement. So if we sincerely rejoice someone's achievement, there is no place that we can be jealous about that. So it's very important to have it done in that way and make benefit to oneself from the achievement of other people. What a wonderful way to do the practice. So then we go to the next practice of the practice of this is the sixth limb, the practice to request the field of merit to turn the wheel of Dharma. Chukur korwa kuwe yalani, je yase nam thuk diva phasa da cheba thabe, de tong ge yase nam veswe le, nam ya yuwa me shindu nguyen ki, monam da thukji ishu ki, kang duyu ki dujala, kuzung thukki nawam beme tu, beme lundub du charwe na, tena nam ka yata wala, tin tikwa le, chargi gyu sashi, sashi beme tu baba shindu. Chukui kayungzu, kenpa da cewe, tin tikwa le, Sabadan Yachewe Tamchuki Char Daja Dujanam Giludu Gi Sashir Chemetu Babdu Wabdu Sol Yambe Jizun Lama Tambakinam Gi Chugu Kala Kinze Tin Tigne Chitrasambe Duje Zimala Sabye Chugi Charba Abdu Sol Shen Jula Didan Yangan Midawar Sova Ni La Kang Sova Tar Shigi Shebe Menducha. Now the next one is the supplication or the request to keep turning the wheel of Dharma. And to do that practice, we need to understand that the merit field in front of us, or the field of merit in front of us, have the omniscience, mind, in the meditative equilibrium. So they are meditating on the union of bliss and the emptiness, and they are completely free from all kinds of obscurations and the imprints of the obscurities, obscuring things or obscurations. So they are in a deep meditative state where they meditate, or in a meditative equilibrium where they meditate on emptiness and the union of emptiness and bliss. But this is a great speciality and unique quality of the Buddhas, that with being in that very meditative equilibrium, they can manifest various actions. And especially due to the great prayers and dedication they have done before achieving the Buddhahood. Due to the power of those great dedication and prayer they have done, they can appear or manifest in various forms of manifestations suitable to tame the beings and suitable to tame the followers or the beings. So they continuously keep manifesting various types of physical, vocal and mental appearance to the living beings who are ripened enough and suitable enough to appear in that form and liberate them and benefit them. Without any kind of slightest effort, they can do it. So that is a great achievement of the Buddhahood, or the great characteristics of being achieved the Buddhahood. The example given here is, in a clear sky, if suddenly there happens to have a mass of cloud and it produces heavy rain, and which nurtures the earth and the land in the same way, from the clear sky-like equilibrium of meditative state, the cloud-like prayers and the compassion and the great dedication produces the various types of manifestations, which is like the huge rain, and which works very well, very effectively to nurture those living beings whose mind is suitable and ripened enough to receive the benefits. So we request, or the practitioner requests, the assembly of the enlightened beings or the field of merit in front of them to do the similar things. Please pour the rain of the Dhamma teachings in order to nurture the earth of, or the land of their mind, so that it will be able to develop and grow various good harvestings, the path and its conditions and all those things. So with such an understanding, should recite the paragraph. Pray all you holy gurus, unerring in conduct, precipitate a rain of vast and profound Dharma from the billowing clouds of wisdom and compassion, which fill the Dhammakaya sky, providing for the field of disciples precisely what is needed. Now, in the case of this practice, the practice of making a supplication or request to turn the wheel of Dharma, and that number one, making a request to live long and never pass away and enter into the parinirvana. In these two cases, since it is a supplication and making a request, one should always try to have a feeling that after the request is done, the field of merit in front of oneself, have accepted it, graciously accepted it. So it's very important to have it done in that way. Then after that, we have the seventh or the final limb practice, that is the dedication. Ngowe yanani dagi lam samula menjer gomba di thunu thuz thusum du sagwa thang sarhi sagurgi gezo chingi ba thamje chir temba geba thang khagyeb gi drowa thadala khang phembe thadala khebar jela men donga lungdo gi temba chimen dini chodu nega thamje du medu chog chime ma goi bar nima shindu sever chenu be gyur gyurji nyam du samne dagi chini sabi geba di tenda drowa guna khambe khebar ji chogi gebu tonga be tembe ningbu rindu seje sho chen jela dini geba chungu yang gyachir pheshing chanjub ki phardu mizeb tablana meba yimbe yimbar mase gebe temba zimbe monam dini gese ki monam taba chinye thamje thamchu zimbe monam ki nang duibar sungbe ngwa monam thamje duibin dom tabu chok chok kona meba o so the limb, the final limb, the dedication, limb of dedication. So in this paragraph, while you recite this paragraph, you have to have this understanding that whatever good deeds, whatever good potential or the energy or the good karma or the merit that you have collected by doing the practice of the Guru Yoga or various other practices, whatever you have collected in past, whatever you are collecting at presently, whatever you are creating at present, the merits, whatever you are going to collect in future, all those great deeds, merit, and the virtuous actions that I have done, or that you have done, or that the practitioner have done in that way, all those accumulations, all those collection of all those kind of merit, dedicate, the practitioner means, a practitioner should feel, I dedicate, or practice should dedicate, for the expansion or diffusion, spreading of the Dharma in all the directions, and for the benefit of all the beings that exist in space. In the space that exists, as long as the space pervades or space covers, the space is a limit. You know, space is a, when we say space is a limit or sky is a limit, that means infinite, limitless. So, limitless living beings. But Tibetans have this expression where we say living beings who exist up to the point where the sky covers. That means all the living beings. There is no space where the space doesn't exist. There is no sky. There is no other kind of any possibility of anything there where the sky doesn't covers. So that means all the living beings. This is a different expression, but it could be helpful to understand this expression. So should benefit, should dedicate. I dedicate all my merit for the benefit of all the living beings, under the space. And especially I dedicate all those merits, all those collections and all those accumulations for the great and pure teachings of the great Master Tsongkhapa and outstanding and pure teachings of great master Tsongkhapa in the field of Sutra and Tantra, and also those realizations related to it. I dedicate it to live long at all the time and never be contaminated by any kind of impurities, and may I be able to have it kind of sparkling all the time in all the direction, like a brightness of the sun. So that kind of dedication. So with such an understanding, one should read the. We are skipping one paragraph here because this paragraph doesn't exist here in the this commentary. So we are skipping this second paragraph from the page 2, and we are going to the third paragraph here, or the third verse. May whatever virtue I have gathered here beneficially serve all sentient beings and the Buddha Dhamma, and especially may the essential teachings of the unerring master Tsongkhapa shine forever. The paragraph that we skipped is inserted to do the practice and the supplication of live long that we have explained in the paragraph 2. So it's of same meaning, same kind of supplication, but with a different kind of verse which explains some different meanings over there, which reads like, may the Vajra body created from the purity of clear light, free of the rising and sitting of cyclic existence, but visible to the ordinary viewer only in its unsubtle physical form, stay on unchanging without waning until samsara ends. The meaning is the same. We request the field of merit to live long until the samsara ends. But here one thing, until samsara ends, is a very good, very kind of interesting expression. It doesn't really matter if our master is going to live up to the end of the samsara or not, but it really matters if our master lives until ending of our own samsara, that is within our own individuals. So that can be achieved. That is achievable in this life. So if we just look for the whole samsara, ending of whole samsara, it may appear like it is not kind of possible to do that. But when an individual have kind of liberated themselves from the samsara, that is a goal for the individual. So it is highly possible that master can live up to that point. So it is very important that one should understand the thing in that kind of context. So I think there comes different kind of variable length of the text in these kind of text. Sometimes it appears like the text was originally written in certain form, and certain master, they add up some kind of paragraphs in the course of time. So the commentary just shows, this doesn't show this paragraph. So probably it could be possible that this was added much later, or maybe is a different version. So it's like that. So you have to understand in that way. But reciting this paragraph doesn't make any harm. It is good. Okay, up to this point, we have completed the portion of the accumulation of the merits, the seven limb practice. Now after that, we are going to enter into the supplication and receiving of attainments, and that we are going to do in the next session. Okay, so let's just stop here, and I hope we have more time to do question and answer session in the next session. But let's try. Dikumar, Sashi Pilutan.
You are hungry, run. Run.